Okay. All right. So this is actually the last in the series tonight on knowing God. Next week there's a new series, which Ken will be starting. And in this series we've been thinking about who God is, what God is like. And we've seen that God is the creator, and God is with us, and God provides, and God is faithful, and God makes us right, and God is good. We looked at God of power. That was the part of that was the talk, part of that was the DVD we saw a few weeks ago. And we looked at God is unchangeable. And then last week we looked at this. We looked at the fact that God is love. Now, a constant theme that runs through the Bible is that the way to be in a right relationship with God, this God, is through Jesus Christ. And in fact, Jesus made this really remarkable claim, which is offensive to many. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life." Well, that's not so offensive, because lots of religions adopt Jesus and they say, yeah, Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. But it's the next bit that he said that was really offensive, when he said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." And lots of people find that really, really offensive, because that means that those who try to come to God any other way, apart from trusting in Christ, can never be right with God. So, problem, how can that possibly be fair, that there could be no other way to God except through Christ? I mean, what about those who've never heard about Jesus Christ? How can God be fair in condemning those who don't come to him through Jesus Christ when they've never heard about Jesus Christ? Now, that's a common misunderstanding of Christianity, because there are many who reject Christianity for that very reason. They say, God isn't just if he would condemn those who don't come to him through Jesus Christ when they've never heard about Jesus Christ. And I agree. I mean, that would be totally unfair. It would be totally unjust if that was the ground on which God condemned some. But it isn't. It may be part of the reason that God rejects someone who has heard about Christ, like you and me, but the ultimate reason that anyone is condemned or rejected by God, whether they've heard about Christ or not, is that they have done what's wrong. They've sinned. Whether you have heard about Christ or not, you have still sinned. So we can say a person who has never heard of Jesus is not condemned for not believing in Jesus. A person who has never heard of Jesus is condemned for doing what is wrong. The only reason anyone is ever saved is because we come to God the only way anyone can come to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And when we come to God through Jesus Christ, then Jesus takes our sin upon himself. And in the end, someone is saved not simply because he believes in Jesus, but because when he believes in Jesus, Jesus takes his sin upon himself, and he takes the punishment for that sin upon himself. You see, where you don't believe in Jesus, your sin, your wrongdoing remains. And it is for that wrongdoing, not just because you don't believe in Jesus, that God condemns and rejects a person. So that brings up a second objection. You might say, how can a person know if they're doing the wrong thing if they don't have God or the Bible to teach them? How can a person know if they're doing the wrong thing if they don't have God or the Bible to teach them? For that matter, who's to say what's right or wrong? So let me put this to you. Who can tell me, how can you know what God thinks is right or wrong if you live somewhere where you don't have God's Bible to tell you? Yes, George.
God has given us a conscience.
Okay, so
That's good. Okay,
so even if you don't have a Bible, you've got a conscience. Now, this is what the Bible says. This is our reading for tonight. Romans 2, 12 to 15. It says, "As many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them." Okay, that's a bit of a mouthful. Let's go through it. First of all, those who have the law, that is, they've got the Bible, they can read for themselves what God has said is right, what God has said is wrong. It says, as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. If you've got the Bible, you can read what God says is right, you can read what God says is wrong, and so God judges a person by you know, what they know is right or wrong. And then it begins by saying, as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. That is, those who don't have the Bible, they don't have God's law in the Bible, they don't have the Ten Commandments, they don't have the Bible to tell them what is right, what God has said is wrong. It says they will perish without the law. So why are they condemned? It says, when Gentiles who do not have the law, Gentiles refers to people who are not Jews, they didn't have the Bible to tell them what to do. It says, when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature, do the things in the law. In other words, they're not told the right thing to do, they just know it. It's built into their nature. It says, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. What's that mean? It means they show the work of the law written on their hearts. How is it written on their hearts? Their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Let's think about what that means. When the first two humans were created, they were created perfect. And they knew perfectly what was right and what was wrong. They didn't need to have God's law written down in a book, like the Ten Commandments, because God's law was written perfectly in here on their conscience. Now, when those first two humans rebelled against God, everything became corrupt. Even their conscience became corrupt. So we don't always know exactly what is right or exactly what is wrong. Sometimes we say what is wrong is right, and sometimes, but less often, we say what is right is wrong. It's all become a bit of a mess. But it didn't become a complete mess. Conscience didn't disappear completely. We still know some things are wrong, and we still know some things are right. All over the world, most people would agree that murder is wrong. All over the world, most people would agree that cheating is wrong. All over the world, most people would agree that lying is wrong. All over the world, most people would agree that adultery is wrong. You know, if you're on Facebook, you know that every day there are thousands of people, depending on how many friends you've got, but there are thousands of people who say they don't believe in God, and they go on Facebook to tell the whole world what they think is wrong. It's true, isn't it? Doesn't matter whether a person believes in God or not. They get on Facebook, they tell everyone what's wrong. You know, Tony Abbott's wrong, Bill Shorten's wrong, this is wrong, that's wrong. And what they're saying is this. They're saying, I've got a conscience. There are some things I believe are right, and there's some things I believe are wrong. They know there is a right and wrong. And if they are honest, they know they haven't always done what's right. God is just. He doesn't condemn a person who's never heard in Jesus for not believing in Jesus. God condemns that person because he knows there is a right or wrong, but he's repeatedly done what is wrong. We're going to consider now God of justice and love. So this ties in what we were looking at last week about how God is love and how God is also a God of justice. Afterwards, if you've got any questions, throw them in and we'll see how we go. Okay, let's have a look at this section in the video.
In addition to being almighty and all-wise, the Bible states that God is completely holy. He always does what is right. God cannot lie. He cannot. Jesus Christ is the Creator. On the cross, He bore our sins and then rose from the dead. The Lord now offers everlasting life to all who will turn from their sins and trust in Him personally. By placing your faith in Jesus Christ, you can enter into a relationship with the Creator of the universe that will last forever. This is His free gift and desire for you. To God alone, who does such great wonders, be glory, thanksgiving, and honor forever.
Okay, so before we sing our last song, anyone got any questions they want to throw in here?
Okay. Really a question about how you mentioned that I couldn't help but think of all the laws that have been passed around the world and even in Australia, and I thought, it's called the conscience state, isn't it?
No, that's a really good point, actually, because you're right. I mean, when the first two human beings fell, conscience became corrupted along with everything else. It didn't disappear, and the more people resist the truth, the more their conscience will become corrupted. And if particularly if someone chooses a lifestyle which is contrary to God's word and they're determined to justify that, then their conscience will become more and more hardened and they'll lose track of what's right and what's wrong. But the very fact, as you say, to have a conscience, what does it mean to have a conscience if you don't believe in God? Why should there be any right and wrong if you don't believe in God? You can only believe there's right and wrong if you believe there's someone who sets the standard for right and wrong. The fact that they even have a conscience state means that they believe there's a lawgiver there somewhere that we're all required to obey.